The following may contain NSFW content and is intended for mature audiences. Parental guidance is suggested.
In a world of sorry-ass social justice warriors,
politically correct panty waists,
and really fake news, there still exists brash, bold dudes with balls who tell it like it really is, really was, and really should be. This is the honest, raw, real Dude Say with Jones and Mike. Jones is a 40-something transcendental meditating hockey-playing vegan who's living the bachelor dream in the heart of the city. Mike's a 40-something beer-swilling suburban married father of four who's traded in motorcycles and marathons for a minivan. They say the things real dudes think, and real women want to hear them say. No topics taboo. Nothing's off limits. No holds are barred. About everything from women to pop culture, millennials to race, news, views, family, money, and more. This is the Dude Say when they're uncensored, unfiltered, and unafraid. Join the show and say some shit too. 872-701-0999. Tweet at Jones and Mike. See and hear us at jonesandmike.com. This is Dude Say. Dude Say. Dude Say. Dude Say.
Jones, can you jump rope?
I can. I'm actually not bad at it. I'm a pretty solid jump rope.
And is that something that you have worked into your, you know, routine?
I do. In fact, that's my plan tomorrow morning, is to do like a 30-minute jump rope routine.
Oh, you have a plan to do that. So, I mean, it's like a part of your, like, weekly schedule of rotating things.
I like to get in, 20, 30 minutes of a jump rope routine if I can get it in.
Really? And so, how long have you been doing that?
I'm consistently inconsistent, and I would say that's been for the better part of 4 or 5 months.
Oh, so 4 or 5 months you've been jumping rope? Or for years you've been doing that, you've been inconsistent for 4 or 5 months?
For 4 or 5 months I've been consistently inconsistent with the intention of at least jumping rope once a week.
Okay. And so when you do it, like, I mean, do you look like a boxer when you do it?
I do okay. Like, if I'm in a gym, like a couple times when I would train at a gym where it would be like an MMA or a boxing gym and I would have the jump rope, I could blend in.
Really?
Like, just as someone who's warming up, like doing the whole and like snapping it around, and not quite. But just keeping the steady pace and kind of doing the little skip thing where you're shuffling your feet.
Right.
I could get into a rhythm. I can never maintain that rhythm for as long as I'd like, but I'm also not one of these guys that's like 1, 2, 3 start over, 1, 2, 3 start
right.
over.
Like, I'm one
I
of the guys
get a decent rhythm.
I always get it hung up around my neck like all the time, and I feel stupid, and then you want to give up.
Well, see, yeah, and that's the thing. You just have to practice on your hand positioning. That's the biggest thing, because some people keep that. They think if I give myself the most rope possible and they keep the hands in tight,
right.
You got to kind of, I think, find a happy medium of having the rope down by your waist, a little bit out, and just so it stays in like that same loop. I feel like you almost want to have it be like a hula hoop.
Okay. Well, and it's, so you've turned me on, and we're about to turn other people on to these guys, Zen Dude Fitness, Dan Whitmer and Brandon Epstein. They run Zen Dude Fitness, and they actually have a video where they talk about, I mean, jumping rope is like their thing. It's their thing, and they're trying to like bring it to the world. Like the same way that people are trying to bring like clean drinking water to like, you know, 100 million people, or like world peace to 10 billion people, or a supercomputer to 10. They're trying to bring jump rope to like a billion people. And the results seem to speak for themselves with these guys. And they have like every manner of tutorial. And one of them is how to like even just get to size it the right way, so you don't like, you know, look like a moron with like a 12-foot one that, like, you know, you're getting all tangled up in it.
Right.
And like when it really breaks bad, and like you're like hog tie yourself, it's around your neck and it's around your ankles. Like, that's me. That's me. That's how horrible I look doing it. And
that's,
they see.
Yeah, check out their videos.
Well, right on. They seem to love it, and love and really love what they do. So that's really what I'm interested in talking to this guy about, and find out more about the art of being Zen, and maybe I can get it. They do like a 4-week program to get people to like lose weight through the cardio benefits of jump rope. This 4-week challenge, and maybe I'll do that and be as good as you someday. Would you do the 4-week challenge head to head, Jones?
I would.
In a world of beaten down middle-aged men,
frizzy panty waists,
and triggered snowflakes,
two dudes
say the shit you say,
think,
and feel.
And now,
we're ready to blow this shit up.
Announcing Jones and Mike,
version 2.0,
coming to a phone,
car,
or computer near you.
Live video and audio,
anywhere you are,
any way you like it,
anytime you need it.
Words that sear through your mind like tiny little missiles of brutal truth that make you go, or freeing men from the malaise of middle age,
giving women the straight dope on what their dudes think.
It's the shit dudes say
that women want to hear.
Go to www.patreon.com/Jones and Mike.
PATREON.
Patreon.com/Jones and Mike.
Support the show.
Join our community.
Get rewards.
And help save Spaceship Earth from the hordes of fake news bullshit artists. Dude Say with Jones and Mike. Get the show for not much dough. Dude Say with Jones and Mike.
Rated M for mature audiences.
Our guest is Dan Whitmer. He and Brandon Epstein are Zen Dude Fitness. Find them online at zendudefitness.com, on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Zen Dude Fitness. They're all about teaching people the joy of jumping rope.
How's your day been?
Great. I don't think as good as yours, though, unfortunately for me.
Why is that?
I don't know. You seem like you live the fucking life of Riley. I got to be honest. I see you, like the other day you did a video where you were like, all right, man, so I just got done with my jump rope work and I'm going to go over there. I'm going to do some, I'm doing a horrible impersonation of you, Dan.
Oh, dude. That's actually pretty good.
I'm going to go over, I'm going to do my, my push-ups, and then, you know, it's a beautiful day, so I'm going to jump in the ocean. I just want to say that I appreciate you and I'm having the greatest fucking life of all time. And I hope you are too. That's it.
Fuck yeah, man. That's pretty accurate. That's actually pretty good.
And now you impersonate me. What do I sound? I guess later on you can impersonate me. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Your Yankees, are they gonna get the AL wild card or what? They're not gonna beat Boston, are they?
I'm not a Yankees fan at all. I get shit for this all the time. I really need to do something about this. Every city that I go to, I just love new era baseball caps. So every city that I visit, I get a cap from that city. But then every city I go to wearing another town's cap, of course, like people I hear are like, oh, fucking Yankees, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm just asking for it. I am.
So you just thought you just like new era hats, or you like the way that hat looks?
Well, I did used to live in New York, so I love the city of New York, but I know nothing about baseball in general right now. The Yankees definitely being a part of that. So I just always wear baseball hats, though.
And what part of New York are you from?
Well, I'm from a small town in Pennsylvania, but I lived in New York in my early 20s.
Which was like 5 years ago? How old are you now?
29. So like early, yeah, it was like 5 years ago.
All right, right on. And why not a Mets fan? Why a Yankees hat? Why not a Mets hat?
So Brandon is a huge, he couldn't be on tonight, but he's a huge Mets fan. Like he's still to the point that we, like, when we lived in Colombia, we streamed Mets games down there because he was just, you know, he would scream at the TV.
So wait a second. You lived in Colombia?
We lived in, yeah, that's where we just moved from. Well, I mean, we've been traveling a little bit, but we moved from Medellin, Colombia. That's where we were for 2 years.
And that's right, because that was part of the reason when I originally tried to get you guys on the show, which was actually just a short while ago, but you guys were in the process of moving back from Colombia, which I was not aware of. I just had this idea that you guys were out in Southern California. And then you're like, oh, we're coming back from Colombia. We'll connect with you when you get back. I'm like, Colombia?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking to myself, like, Colombia, Arizona.
Yeah. That's what everyone's like. Ah, South Carolina, great place. Whatever. No, yes, I think it's South. Or Missouri's got one as well.
Yeah. You know. So what was in Colombia? It sounds sketchy.
You know, I don't know, man. I think it was, you know, every city's sketchy. Like, every city has sketchy places.
We're from Chicago. Tell us about it.
Yeah, no, most of my family is from, well, a lot downtown, but then also Wheaton.
Yeah.
So, oh, wow. Very familiar.
Yeah, big just Chicago down the road fan. From Mike.
I love Chicago. I love Chicago. But yeah, Columbia was sketchy in parts, but it was also very... It was beautiful. It was a beautiful country. We could shoot videos there. The weather was basically the same every day. The people were super nice. And to be totally honest, we wanted to save money when we started our business. So we were like, okay, let's move to a country where the cost of living is going to be low, but quality of life and stuff like that will be high. And then move back to a major market like New York City or LA. And we ended up shooting, like, when we're financially able to do so. Right. And then we moved the business to LA.
I mean, doesn't... why Colombia as opposed to like Chile, for example? I hear great things about that. Like, that's the jewel of South America.
Yes. The only reason for that was because we had a friend who was down in Colombia already living in Medellin. And he was just like, hey, Brandon and I met in Austin. So we were in Austin, Texas. And he was like, hey, why don't you come down to Colombia? Check it out. So Brandon went down there, loved it. And then I just went down right after him.
So, I mean, I always thought it was Medellin. It's Medellin? Or am I busting you out now? Isn't that where Pablo Escobar was?
Yes. So it's Medellin because in Colombia, the way they speak Spanish is they pronounce it the double L as a J. Medellin would be pronounced like that if you were in Mexico or I'm trying to think. A lot of other South American, Central American countries would pronounce it a double L with a Y.
Yeah, you just busted me out. Nice, man. So, like, all of us dumb Americans have been saying it wrongly all these years because we were so coked up.
Yeah, Colombia with a U? Yeah, Colombia? Yeah, that's, I love it down here. Yeah, dude. Oh, man.
So you wanted to start this business about fitness, Zen Dude Fitness. So you said, all right, let's go to a place where it's cheap. We're unattached. We don't have families. We can go to Colombia or anywhere in the world. But I guess that's the one that you guys threw darts on the board, and that's the one that won. And you went down there, and now that you got a pot to piss in and a window to throw it out of, now you guys are in what part of the world? In L.A.?
Mm-hmm. In Santa Monica, Los Angeles.
Why not just stay where the living is easy and cheap and the beer flows like wine and all
like
of that?
The salmon of Capistrano.
Yeah, right on.
Because LA is like, it's where it's at. In terms of like the business that we're doing and the connections we're trying to make, there is a ceiling that you hit working in a Central or South American country, the people that you can meet to grow your business. It's just... it's more difficult. So we figured let's go back. Like, we were ready to also just hustle more. Like, we were always trying to like push our business and everything to the next level. So LA was like, all right, well, if we go to New York, people are going to be pissed off. It's going to be cold. Why don't we try to do this in a better area?
Right.
We could, like, you know, hang out at the beach and like, just like have a better quality of life. I feel like New York is, I wasn't ready to do like a cold city again.
It's a hustle, so. For sure. Now, you said that you had, you know, that you have these goals. What is the goal? Like, what is the ultimate Dan/Zen Dude Fitness? Where is like the dream scenario of where you guys would already want to be, or not already want to be, but where you want to go to?
I think what it is we really see this opportunity right now as jump rope. Like, for me, it's a very personal story because I lost a lot of weight jumping rope. And we see jump rope as this emerging sport, sort of like the world of yoga, sort of like the world of CrossFit when that got big. Jump rope is now becoming this, you know, more people are talking about it. More people are using it for not only sports conditioning like CrossFit or, you know, for basketball or something like that, but also for weight loss. And so I think, you know, just like any other fitness fad, like, we admittedly like hope to ride that wave of like, hey, this is a great technique for losing weight that like I personally have like a lot of, and Brandon as well, like have a lot of, it's very close to me because this is how I like transformed my life. So for me, I feel like this jump rope, you know, crusader that's like, no, dude, we have to like take this next level. I want everyone, you know, like every time I go to a different country, we're like the losers. Like, so we see like one person jumping rope. We like lean out the window. We're like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know, they're like, dude,
Yeah, right.
But do you guys want to do like a TV? Like, I'm just saying, dream scenario. Like, do you guys have a vision of like, we would love to have a network television show. This is what it would look like. Do you have that type of thing?
Yes, we have a show that we absolutely want to make and plan on making at some point. Whenever those things like work out or make sense, like obviously it's going to involve like tons, like probably more and more years of hard work. But we want to do a show just showcasing the Zen Dude lifestyle of like, I used to work a very corporate job, not very corporate, but a corporate in that corporate environment. And in many ways, Zen Dude Fitness for me isn't just jumping rope. It's breaking away from a lot of traditions or paths that I was headed down to live a more fulfilling life, whether it be in business or just my personal life. So we'd like to make a show that showcases all of those transformations. So basically just living in a way that we can travel around the world, eat a lot of food, and do a lot of the shit that you guys like eat. Like Mike, you mentioned seeing like on the snaps. Like, we just want to turn that into a show. We think the world is a very serious place, and we just don't think it should be.
Yeah.
So we want to create a show that just kind of shows us like, hey, look, you can be fit. You can eat the food you want. You can have this fun life. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be so serious. And like, also included in that, like, if you wanted to start a YouTube channel, we'll show you how to do that too. Like, we're trying to promote this idea that, you know, you can start a business, earn a great living financially, follow your dreams, and, you know, have the body and all that.
Honestly, dude, do you think that you have the looks for TV? Because I don't know.
Come on.
Yeah, dude. No, my teeth, man. I got to get my teeth, my bottom teeth, bro. I got to get those. I got to go back to Columbia and get braces because, like, right now, no.
No, Brandon, come on. Down in Columbia, they'll put gold braces on, dude. You'll have a grill when you come back. Don't do that.
Yeah, that's true.
Are you bald under the hat? Do you have hair?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a lot of hair.
Oh, shit. Dude, you're ready for TV. And Jones was on a reality TV show on A&E. So after this, we're gonna go to Columbia on your helicopter and we're gonna talk turkey.
I like it. I like it. Come on down. Let's talk that turkey.
All right. So let's start. Take it from the top, bro. From like when you guys, I guess we're fat guys. Start at the beginning, like, and take us into how you guys found the jump rope of all things, as the key to your fitness plan. And then how you guys, the evolution of, hey, this is a passion. Let's turn that into a business. Start at the top.
So first I was working in New York for a software company. So I had a job where I traveled a lot and my whole thing was, look, I want to lose weight. I'm not going to sit here and say like, oh, I was morbidly obese. Cause like if people saw my before pictures, like I was a football defensive end. So I played like, I was a big guy, but I wasn't like, I couldn't get off the couch. You know what I mean? Like I was just a big dude. And so my whole goal after college was like, you know what? I'm really tired of, I don't want to go to the gym. I'm not really interested in lifting weights. I want to do something fun that I'm going to be able to like still move my body and have a good time doing it. But live that life of like, hey, look, I'm a traveling salesman. I want to be able to take a client out and have a glass of whiskey and wake up the next day and like still be lean and still like not have to live this, you know, oh man, I'd get in shape, but my job, like all these excuses that people make.
What were you selling? What kind of sales were you in?
Database software.
Oh my God. Are you happy to not be doing that? Jesus.
Yeah, dude. I'm very happy. It's just like, yeah, I had no passion for it. I wasn't even that good at it. So like that made it worse too. But yeah, it was, you know, so that was like during that time, I went through a transformation of losing all this weight. Because like I remember, I'll never forget it. I went to Boston to visit a friend of mine who like lost a bunch of weight. And he said, oh yeah, man, all I do is jump rope and play basketball. Like you should start jumping rope. And so I took that back to New York and started like literally just started jumping rope all the time. And, you know, I made sure to also get the nutrition part of it right as well. It wasn't just like I jumped rope and that was it. But I lost a bunch of weight. And at the same time was in a position where I was like, you know what? I think I want to start my own business. I'm not really happy with the direction of my life, even though there's all these great things about it. I just wasn't, You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to sit here and like complain, but I just wasn't fully fulfilled continuing to go down that path. So I started doing jump rope workouts and then got approval from my company to start doing them in-house, not making money for it, but just kind of promoting it.
Like training coworkers?
Exactly.
Okay.
And the whole idea was like, it was this class where I turned on like hip hop music and we jumped rope and did like bodyweight exercises. And so from there, I ended up getting moved down to, for the same job, to Austin, Texas. And I started taking my other side business with jump rope more seriously. And then ended up, I was like, you know what? I really want to do this. I want to quit my job. I want to start a business. I want to see if this can become something because I was able to lose a bunch of weight. Let me help other people do the same. So I started a company called Base Jump, which that was the, all the jump rope stuff that we do now at Zen Dude Fitness. But then 6 months after I started that in Austin, that's when I met Brandon and we just like became immediate, like all these weird things about our lives were exactly the same. And we just hit it off immediately, became best friends. And we're just like, you know what, this would be a lot more fun to do with someone else. Plus he brings a different set of skills that I don't have. So we wanted to do this together.
So when you met him, was he overweight? And then you're like, dude, you got to try the jump rope thing. Or how did that work?
No, so he was a he was a football player as well. And he lost a bunch of weight just on his own, like not doing jump rope, but just like exercising, lifting weights, eating right. So he went through this like 65 pound transformation. And so that like when we met, we had already gone through that. But it was cool to kind of share like, you know, just like the stories of, you know, like our high school lives were much different than they were now. So just like similarities like that and stuff.
Now, did you guys play, you said football for both you and your partner. Were you guys playing college ball or high school ball?
I only played like not even a full year of college football. Brandon played 2 years of college football.
Okay, where at?
I went to Westchester University, which is like a D2 school near Philadelphia. Brandon went to Whittier, which is outside of LA.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious, what, you know, from you hear so much about the benefits of, say, weightlifting and strength training. You guys had to have like a pretty solid base of that. Like just in terms of, I know you guys said you were defensive linemen, you guys were big guys, but you guys had to have at least some level of success in terms of strength training. How was that like just versus, it would just seem so foreign to me to come from that background and then go just jump rope.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, man. And you're absolutely right. Like we started off like basically lifting for 10 straight years, doing all like your compound exercises, squats, bench, deadlift, things like that. So we've been trained in that for a long time. But for us really, I think we just got to the point in college where you're like, all right, well, I'm clearly not going to the NFL. So what's the main, you know, in 5 years, I'm going to be sitting at a desk or traveling in some kind. So I kind of just want to be in shape and look okay if I put a suit on. Like I don't want to, I'm not as concerned anymore with like, you know, how much am I benching and how just massive am I? Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the starter point for like, and I'd always been, Brandon and I both had always been like bigger guys. So we were like, no, we want to get shredded, man.
Or, right.
You know, whatever.
And you say bigger. How big were you, like, about height and weight when you were playing?
My biggest was – I was in between, like – I was 6'3". I'm 6'3", and I weighed, like, 260.
And now you are?
About –
still 6'3".
Still 6'3", and about one – I fluctuate between, like, 185 and 190, oh, like, low 190s.
Okay.
Wow. And then what were Brandon's dimensions?
His heaviest was 250, and now he stays between like 180, 185.
God. And did you guys, are there any other baseline stats you can share with me? Like, oh, you know, I was, you know, I had markers for pre-diabetes or whatever they say, you know, I had the conditions or were there high cholesterol or any other, you know, kind of stats that you saw dramatically change during your metamorphosis?
No, not that I can't say like there was any kind of, I've felt healthier than I've ever felt in my life. Like when I first initially went through that transformation, it was like, you know, I felt amazing. So I don't think, I mean, there could have definitely been things improved, but I wouldn't have noticed.
And do you do any sports outside of jump rope? Like in terms of just participation, not necessarily strength training or anything.
Yeah, I spend about an hour, hour and a half a day hip hop dancing. So that's that's like my biggest goal in life is to just do some kind of like amateur performance for hip hop dancing. And that's pretty much it. Like I do, since moving to Santa Monica, there's a large crowd of people here who like to do calisthenics. Like you see the guys who do the bar stuff.
And, yeah, the bar stars and the muscle ups and bar stars. Like they're out like Warrior. East Coast, I think.
Yeah. So those get like a lot of those guys are out here and I'm starting to get interested in that. But I haven't like, you know, I can't do anything that they can right now, but I'll do some like pull-ups, but it's mainly, pull-ups, push-ups, jump rope and dancing.
And same type of stuff with Brandon. I mean, is he kind of cheating by lifting weights on the side behind your back?
Dude, he better not be. If that's where he is right now.
You're out of the company, Brandon.
Yeah. No, he does. So he does everything I do, except he does, instead of dancing, he does boxing. So he's training for, he's
doing well, he had the video, the body of a boxer, right?
Yes.
Because I've done your videos. That's how I came to know you guys. The first video I started to do, you guys, I thought you were in Southern California, but you were, out in Columbia, I guess.
Yeah. Right.
And it was on top of a building. There was like a glass wall or something, or like a hip high glass wall.
Okay.
And it was like a 32 minute video. And it was like this routine of like butt kickers and then the high step. And
I'm trying to think if it was me or was it me or Brandon?
It might be Brandon.
Okay.
It might be Brandon, but that's how that first video, I was like, it was just one day. It was cold. Funny why you chose LA over New York. And I was like, I don't want to go outside, but I have a jump rope. And then I have like two large, like rubber squares, like, the mats that you get that, they have like the little cutouts in them so that they can kind of be placed together.
Yeah. And the then gym, they kind of like the ones they like put on top of each other at the gym.
Exactly. Yeah. Just like those interchangeable gym mats. So I got two of those and then I just found your video. And I started doing that one. And then I saw the body of a boxer and all this stuff and just was kind of curious about that. But now you're saying he's training to fight. Like, I'm just curious, do you have any feedback from him? What he thinks in terms of like, cause I would just think the functionality of jumping rope in terms of cardio is fantastic. But like, is there any concerns, like in terms of upper body strength or what have you, that you would carry that over or lose something if you're going into kind of another dynamic sport like boxing? Like, is he concerned at all?
No, I think it goes hand in hand. Like boxers jump rope so much that he's kind of forced to, I mean, when he goes to the gym that he trains at, like he's forced to do it. You know what I mean? Like it's a requirement of the sport.
But then outside of that, then is he just like outside of that might be just bag work, calisthenics? Is that kind of his program then?
Yeah, calisthenics. We do a lot of bodyweight exercise type stuff. Like we believe a lot in functional movement. So he gets that from boxing. Like he's, when he's sparring with someone, he's doing like, or hitting the bag, such a great way to exercise. And then he's jumping rope. And then outside of that, we're usually together doing some kind of bodyweight workouts. We don't even get that fancy with it. Like we're not the guys doing like the progressions where it's like, last week I did 50 regular, so now I got to do them from my, like doing a handstand or something like that. Like we like to keep it, our whole thing is simplicity.
Okay.
So we like to keep it pretty simple.
Which is perfect. And that's right up my alley. Cause then Mike and I, a couple months ago, was it 2 months ago, Mike? We had this Herschel Walker idea.
Yeah, right on. Like in the spring. So like at my job, so I'm still in like the corporate, I'm in hell, frankly. So I haven't broken out and like, my wife won't let me move to Medellin. So I'm stuck. Right. So, but in this corporate, hell that I'm in, they had like a push-up contest. And so it was like other corporate offices, all competing. And of course, Chicago got crushed by someone, you know, some offices. Irvine crushed us, like, you know, four or five times what we did. But I'm like, okay, cool. So the push-up contest, I participated in that with my corporate hellish cult member partners. And that got me going on that. And I'm like, Jones, this is fucking revolutionary. I mean, this idea of joining a gym, it's such bullshit. Whenever somebody I know is like, I'm going to join a gym, I'm like, dude, the whole world is your gym. Just get out and just start running and stuff.
Amen. So,
right. Grab some floor, right?
Just move your body. Just move it. You don't have to go inside somewhere to do that, you know?
Right on. And then we remembered that Herschel Walker used to do like thousands of push-ups every day. And then, you know, I'm like, oh, fuck, I can't do that. Jones is like, dude, I can. So then he started like really going down this body weight path.
Yeah.
Well, I had this routine where I was like, all right, I'll try to do 1,000 push-ups a day, and then like 1,000 dips, but just out of a chair, and then like 1,000 squats. So in order to get that in through the course of the day, I had to break it up. I'm not going to sit there and crank out 1,000.
I was going to ask you, because like I do the like daily push-ups, but I'm not hitting 1,000, man.
No, and I didn't stick with this routine. But part of the reason I didn't stick with the routine was there was one day, and I called Mike. I'm like, dude, I'm so fucking embarrassed. So in order to get the push-ups and the dips and the body weight squats during the day, I would have to get up like I was going to the bathroom at work and then like go off to a side conference room and just quickly bang out some
nice. And so you get caught doing that.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there and then I think I can see we got these new doors at the office where there's like these conference doors and it's this frosted glass. So I would go in there and I was getting away with the workouts for a little bit. And then one day I'm just in there and I'm doing the push-ups and I'm doing like the dips and then I'm doing the squats, but I can see the shadow on the other side of the door. And I'm like, I'm fine. But what is that? What is that? So then at the end, I open up the door and then there is the owner of my company and like two other coworkers just looking and they got this stupid grin on their face. And then they're just like, what were you doing in there? Were you working out? And for a split second, I was almost dumb enough to go, no, I was talking to a client, like knowing that they could see me like doing push-ups and stuff, like whatever.
And it would have been really weird. Then they'd be like, all right, man.
Yeah.
So I just copped to it. And I was like, oh, I got a competition with my friend, 1,000 push-ups. I tried to make it like push-ups for cancer.
Trying to make it normal.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I know that stuff, it's so hard to squeeze in during the day. And then after I got busted, I'm like, well, the hell with that. I'm not going back to that.
Yeah, it would have been easier to be like, I was masturbating. I was not doing push-ups and dips.
Yeah.
It would have stopped the question.
Off, man. There was, that meeting, that was horrible. I really had to jerk off. So
I'm glad you said that, though. Like, I think Jones's demure stature helps him out in the rep chasing, right? I mean, like, the smaller frame dudes are just, they can rock it. Although, I guess Herschel Walker throws the gum in those works, if that's the case.
I mean, it depends on your reach, too. If you just have really long arms, then you have to go really far to the ground. You know what I mean? As opposed to someone who's just, like, really close to the ground and can bang him out. Like Mike Tyson, for example. He's, like, kind of a compact dude. I bet the guy could go, like, really, like, do a bunch really fast.
Right on. So, I mean, what's a more normal goal that you would recommend for, like, you know, people that don't want to be fired from their job?
Start with 100 a day. Do sets of 10, 15, 20, and just consistently start hitting 100 every day, because it's not really that difficult if you just like have it, you know, at the top of your, like you write it down somewhere. But the act of you doing it every day will get you to be more consistent. And then after that point, then you can start moving up to like 200, 300. I don't go above 500 though.
Yeah. Like,
is there a reason for that?
No, it's purely a time thing, to be totally honest. Like
because you think like 1,000 push-ups and then the chair dips, the seated dips and the squat, it was like 3,000 reps. Like it was like the whole day. I had to like plan from like 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. of when and then I was kind of always walking around with this like light glisten of sweat. It was disgusting.
I was going to say, so your coworkers were really like, dude, are you okay?
They're happy that it's over.
I think Brian's dying. He's always in there. He's sweating. Unlike the meatball, like, kind of fitness forums, they'll say, like, that shit, don't bother to do tons of reps and push-ups. That just, all you're doing is teaching your body how to do push-ups effectively and efficiently, and you're really not helping yourself after a certain point. But you don't agree with that?
I agree with that, but here's the problem. Everyone is talking about bodybuilding, and no one understands that, like, we, like, at Zen Dude Fitness, we are absolutely not trying to look like bodybuilders. We don't even care if you have, like, big arms. Like, we're just trying to look, have a really low body fat percentage. And in order to do that, that's why we do a lot of stuff. You know, we openly admit to, like, we are in a constant state of basically maintenance. Now, we like to advance in other areas, like in terms of acquiring new skills, like dancing or boxing, something like that. But in terms of physique, we're really into, like, we want to be kind of, I don't want to say skinny, but thinner, lean guys, like soccer player type physique.
Right.
And to maintain that, I know exactly what forums you're talking about. It's very popular, like, in threads on Reddit. And it sucks because, like, little kids are reading these threads that are like, if you do push-ups, that's fucking worthless, but you should be doing like a 5x5 split with bench and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I will totally agree that if you're trying to become a bodybuilder and you want to add a massive amount of mass, like muscle mass, you can't do push-ups to get there. You do have to do like extreme heavy lifting, resistance training with the weights. But if you're 99% of people who just want to look sexy when they're naked, it's completely fine. You know what I mean? Like, the biggest issue is having a smaller body fat percentage, which I think a lot of people, when they're asked this question, like, what do you want to look like? What everyone really talks about is having a low body fat percentage, and people confuse that for like being jacked. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. wanting to get right. bigger muscles. But I think, like, most people, if they were able to maintain a low body fat percentage, wouldn't mind not having as big of a mass. So I think, like, yeah, does that answer the question? I feel like it's kind of.
Yeah, totally. And since
what is your body fat? Sorry, Mike.
It fluctuates. I go from like, my lowest is like 7, and then I go up to like 10. But it's a constant roller coaster because your body's never going to stay.
A constant roller coaster from awesome to more awesome.
Yeah.
Well, no, but like, it's not like, what I mean is like, people, they like get to a certain weight and they're like, all right, sweet, the work's all done. Or they're like, oh man, I got down here and then I gained 5 pounds back. It's like, yeah, your body's constantly losing and gaining weight. That's fine. Like, if you go to a barbecue on a Sunday and you drink a bunch of beer and eat ribs, like, of course you're going to gain that weight back. It's all good. Like, you know, it's okay. Like, you're going to lose 3 pounds, gain it right back, lose 4, gain 2 back. Like, that's how the body works. It's not this like concrete, you know, you get to a weight and then you're just going to stay there, you know?
And did you have a baseline, like, when you started, you know, did you know where you were at?
In terms of
your body fat? Yeah. Were you in the 20s at one point?
Yeah, I was 23% body fat and like that was when I was like 255, 260.
How long did it take you to get down to the single digits? Or like 10?
In total? Yeah, probably like a year and a half.
Okay.
And like, what, honest to God, what's considered dangerous?
7, 6. Like 5, you don't want to be at 5, even 7. I'll be honest. Like, I'll do that for, let's say for example, there's a shoot that we've planned out in six weeks. Like, hey, we want to get new photos for our YouTube banner. And we're going to hire someone to do this shoot. I will cut calories to get to a certain point for that. But, you know, I'm a big believer in, like, also as a man, like, you want to protect your testosterone. Like, you don't want to be getting super lean and like, what's the point of a six pack if your testosterone's super low, you know?
So what's the correlation there? Lower fat? Cause you always hear, like, or at least you'll start to hear as you get to our age, like, there's always that, you know, lose the belly fat and
it drives up cortisol. Yeah. The belly fat drives up the cortisol and the cortisol lowers your testosterone. I thought.
Yeah. I think that's also a product of, like, there's a lot of people who've kind of, like, fucked their metabolisms because they've been sitting on planes for 20 years. So, like, they have belly fat, but they don't even eat that much. You know what I mean? Like, they can't cut their calories because they're in like a different problem now. if you're just talking about like losing, getting down to a super low body fat percentage, your body needs fat. Your brain has to have fat in order for your cells to be coated, in order for your cells to regenerate. So things like, you know, fat is just an essential nutrient for, especially for men, for increasing testosterone. So if you lose a lot of that body fat, then your body doesn't have the energy that it needs to go about its daily processes. And that's one of like, that's the reason your testosterone dips, because your body's using up the little energy it has and trying to displace it throughout all these like things that it has to do today, like certain organs, your breathing, all that kind of stuff.
So you're 29. Do you chart where your testosterone levels are at? I mean, you're not even 30, but do you do that?
I have in the past. I'll be honest, I haven't done it in a while. It's something I probably get checked like once a year, but just to be, you know, just to be careful with it. I also don't really check because I just eat a ton. I just eat a ton of fat.
Right on. Like that. Now there. Okay. So like there was the time when Atkins was the big diet, and then that was kind of debunked. And then a couple of years ago, paleo became all the rage. And now it seems like, especially in the world of athletics, I'm reading more and more about how the high fat, low carb diet, that's magnifique, especially when it's the right fats, not the bad fats, the good fats, the avocados, whatever. And so that's the path that you encourage people to take?
You know what? I believe there's benefit to high fat diet, but not high fat cutting something else out. I think the thing that sells products is this idea that there's a demon. Sugar's the demon, salt's the demon, saturated fat is the demon. So let's plan this diet that's around, you know, causing destruction to this demon. And that's the issue with most diets, because in all reality, your body needs all those nutrients. And if you starve yourself, like a lot of people are into, I'm not saying that I don't believe the ketogenic diet can't be beneficial at all, but I'm just saying that everyone's body is uniquely different. And so to make blanket statements like some of these diets do, like, everyone should go high fat, low carb. That's what you should do. It's kind of an illogical statement, because it's like, well, that really makes like my body, the way that I'm like me, Dan Whitmer, is like the way I'm structured. I do perform better on a high fat, slightly lower carb diet, because that's just the way my body is set up. But some other people, if they ate that way, might gain weight at a more rapid pace. And if I ate a higher carb diet or some, you know, vice versa, then that might affect my body differently. Go ahead.
No. I was just curious. Do you know what type of diet Brandon's on? The reason, because you mentioned the ketogenic diet, and that seems like that's something that's really picking up with like a lot of combat sport guys, like boxers, MMA guys, Muay Thai fighters. I'm hearing a lot about that, this ketogenic diet, which I don't really understand. Now, with Brandon now getting involved in boxing, is his diet similar to yours, or is it different? Does it have to be different?
I'd say we eat a lot of the same stuff. You know, we eat a lot of dinners together and stuff like that. But in terms of throughout the day, it is pretty different. Like I usually fast for most of the day just because my body's used to that. He'll usually do boxing in the morning and then break his fast at around like 11:30 or 12. I might wait a little bit longer. But in terms of what we eat, it's pretty much, it's very similar. There's not, you know, like we, yeah, I would say it's a pretty equal distribution of carbs, fats, proteins.
Right on. And the fasting is something we've talked about a lot here recently, the concept of intermittent fasting. So is it a strategic thing, or it's like, I just never ate breakfast? For example, I couldn't stand eggs and bacon, all the bullshit. So I never ate breakfast until the last year, and I put on like 15 pounds. And I'm like, oh, shit, I got to stop that. I got to go back to the way I used to be. And in the meantime, I'm seeing these videos from Terry Crews. You know Terry Crews?
Oh, yeah.
Mike loves his body.
Oh, my God.
It's great. The dude's like 50 years. He looks amazing.
Yeah, ridiculous, right? And so, you know, he goes on, he does videos very similar to yours, although he gets into like, you know, so I've been masturbating too much lately, and, you know, it is destructive to your soul, right on. And it's kind of like, ew. But then he did some videos on intermittent fasting, and I'm like, yes, now if I don't expect anyone to look at my body and go, that's the path for me. But look at Terry Crews. Look no further than that guy's body. And so now I'm hearing you talk about it. Was it a strategy or you just kind of fell into it?
It was something that I read up on, you know, that someone, like, I read a bunch of articles that were like, here's, you know, this is what you should do. This is why you should do it. And then I just started doing it. And I think it was the thing that, for me, it really helped me get control just over my food habits. Like, I'm a guy, if you put food in front of me, like, I'm going to, like, it's crazy to me when people say, I can't, oh man, I didn't eat enough today. I'm just like, it is a daily struggle for me not to just eat 10,000 calories. Like, I have to constantly tell myself, like, nah, it's cool. I don't need to eat. But, like, yeah, I think with fasting, it was something I read about initially, educated myself on it, started to do it. And then I really believe after you do it for long enough, your body just gets to a point, you know, your body just wants to do consistently whatever inputs you're going to give it consistently. So after a period of time, like, not eating breakfast and continuing to break my fast around like 2 or 3, at this point, Jeez. It's just a habit.
So what time do you get up?
Like 6, 6:30.
So you get up at 6:30 and then you don't eat to 2 PM or 3 PM.
That's what Terry Crews does, dude. He says he'll work out at like 6 a.m.
Today, I ate my first meal right before I talked to you guys. I waited till like 6:30 today.
And you didn't eat anything?
No.
But now you'll eat until like 10.
Athletic Greens, like, yeah. I had like a green juice supplement earlier in the day.
And you do you ever feel fatigued, hunger? I mean, because you're saying on one end, you're like, oh, I got to remind myself not to eat 10,000 calories. But is there ever a part of you that's like, oh, just give me fucking 400 calories?
Yeah, for sure, man. Like, there's definitely days where I feel that way if I'm doing a lot of activity. And whenever I feel hungry, I eat. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm starting to feel any inkling of dizziness or like I'm not, maybe not mentally, maybe like Brandon and I are having a conversation or we have to go to a meeting and I don't feel mentally like alert. And then I'm, you know, then I let myself like, yeah, you need to go eat something, man. But for example, today, like, I didn't purposely not eat until super late, but my body just doesn't, it didn't give me any of those signals. I wasn't really that hungry. I'm very focused throughout the day on just getting stuff done, whether it be like shooting or editing or whatever we have going on. So I think, you know, some days I allow myself to do, I do whatever my body's feeling, but those, I typically don't get, I typically do not start getting hungry till at least noon.
Man. Well, it's funny. Keith Richards, he has the same kind of diet as well. So,
well, yeah. So you guys are very similar. Thin. Yeah.
You know,
and Dan, your stools, how are they?
Fantastic. Every single morning.
Like a Nerf football.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Man. Oh yeah. Cause you know, you gotta, it's all about the man. When people tell me they don't poop every day, I'm like, yo, that is sad.
It's crazy to me. Or that when sucks. People struggle to do like, well, I guess you're supposed to eliminate like after every meal, dude. I'm a crazy pooper, man.
Oh, come on.
And when
now.
I hear people like they go like, oh, no, I took a shit on Monday and it's like Wednesday. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's not right.
What? But there's a lot of people who are like that.
I don't like to mentally know that there's like physical, you know what I mean? Like in my body, right. I'm like that McDonald's that I ate 2 days ago is in there right. or something. Like I don't want right. to, yeah, no, I got to poop every morning. It's like a routine.
It's like when people get diagnosed with cancer, I hear they say that like I was focused on getting the surgery to get the cancer out of me right away. Same thing with stools. You don't want to know that McDonald's is sitting in there languishing, taunting you from the inside. Get it out.
That's right. Just get it out, man.
So while we're talking about diet, dude, you guys have I haven't seen like 100 of your videos, but from what I've seen, you really are kind of like, hey, man, we're not going to really preach to you about diets. And correct me if I'm wrong, but everyone needs a certain amount of food for their goals and for their frame. And so we help you learn what's right for you. What kind of what amount of food is right for you? Can you explain?
Yes. So I think that's kind of a two-part. The reason, just real quick, just to let you guys know, we talk a lot about diet in our courses. We have some YouTube videos on it. But for like the growth of our business, we realized that focus was going to grow us the fastest and have us become like I really believe, like, there's, you know, especially on YouTube or any kind of, if you're starting a brand, like, we just decided all we were going to talk about is jump rope. We're going to beat jump rope into the ground until, like, no one else is talking about it. We're going to be like the, you know, try to be like the sole owners of that information surrounding jump rope.
Jump rope is the new black. Yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes. But for, I'm trying to think of the second part of that. Sorry, I kind of lost.
Well, so everyone needs a certain amount of food that's right for them. It doesn't matter so much what you're eating. It matters how much you're eating for you and your goals.
So yes and no. We do tell people, so we have a calculator, and the general idea is everyone has a certain amount of calories and macronutrients that they need to hit on a daily basis. And when I say macronutrients, all I'm talking about is fats, carbs, and proteins, and those all equal calories. So just so like anyone in the audience who knows, this is like the most valuable piece of information anyone can learn. And I don't know why it's not taught like early on in health class and stuff, but 1 gram of protein is 4 calories. 1 gram of carbs is 4 calories. 1 gram of fat is 9 calories. So when I say you need to figure out what your calorie and macronutrients are, all I'm talking about is like we have a calculator on our website where you would go to it, type in your height, your age, your weight, your goal of where you want to get to, and it would give you a breakdown of, okay, Mike gets 2,000 calories,
yes,
and those 2,000 calories are made up of this many calories of fat, this many calories of carbohydrates, this many calories of protein, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And then I guess the thing that always loses me in these kinds of discussions and stuff is like, all right, when I'm eating at a restaurant or at home even, like, how the fuck do I figure all that stuff out from there?
For sure, man. So the biggest thing is like just get an app like MyFitnessPal and begin to just practice entering things into it. So what I mean by that is you don't need to go overboard, because the second a task that you haven't been doing before but feels tedious, you're going to stop it. Like if I woke up tomorrow and was expected to play, you know, practice the piano, I would give up.
I was going to say dueling banjos. Yeah.
Yeah, like I would never, you know, I just, it's not a habit that I've like trained in that way. So for my fitness pal, start really small. Just start putting food into it. And then visually what that's going to do for you is increase your self-awareness. So you're going to start seeing, you know, let's say you're out to lunch and you get served a plate of salmon. You're subconsciously going to say to yourself 600 calories. You're going to start to look at those things. Because, I mean, let's be honest, we have a wide variety of foods that we can eat. But everyone has like 20 or 30 meals that they pretty much just cycle through. Like everyone's got their favorite burger place. Everyone has a list of maybe 10 to 15 meals that they eat throughout the week at work, unless like there's pizza in the office or something like that. But everyone kind of has like this similar routine of foods that you're eating. So really what it's about is initially plugging some of those meals into MyFitnessPal. And you can, you know, there's things you can do on there. Like you can save that meal. So whenever you eat that meal, all you have to do is click one button and bam, you have that already entered in there for the day.
Cool.
There's a girl at work that does that. And whenever, it's so funny, whenever we go out, like after work, if we're going somewhere, she's like, hang on, let's see what I can do. And then she has like now she's super dedicated.
You got to do it. I know. Like I tell people, like, it's funny. Like, look, people always hit us up and say, you know, everyone's being an asshole to me. Like they're giving me shit. I'm like, fuck them. Who cares? Like be that fucking person. Like at the end of the day, if you want to change your body, you're the one who has to fucking do it. That's it. There's no like, you know, like, I don't know, people who are negative. Cause I totally personally went through that, of course. And you know, I say to this, like you have to count your calories initially in order for you, your body is a science equation. Like you can do it without counting calories if you want. But I'm just so lazy. It's so easy to just count, to just eat this amount of calories. And then you like you lose weight. Like it's, you know what I mean? Like it's very simple in the way you go about it. I think that, so to that point, I get it. Like it sucks. It sucks being that person. You know what I mean? You're like,
well, we almost find it.
I can have 2 more beers, but that's it. I just have 2 more.
But see, we find it entertaining because after a while, it's just like she does her little calculation. She's like, yep, I can go. I can go.
Jeez.
And she, whatever, she already knows what she has going in. And it's almost like you're sitting around anticipating, like, can she have a wine and an app, or is it just a wine tonight?
And pins and needles.
Yeah. Well, if it's like, and maybe if she does it in a less, I mean, if she's annoying about it, like, you know, like people who are like,
no, wow, she's not. It was just something that was so new to us. She's actually, she's really like shy about her fitness. Like she has her own little, and she's going to hear me talking about this and like when I kick my dick in, but she's like super shy about, she's in great shape, but she's super shy about it. She has like her own little circle of like people who understand her fitness that she opens up to. And she's opened up to us. She's cool. We kind of know that's her thing. So I don't think we get, I mean, I don't think we're too hard on her. I don't think we're hard on her at all. It was just the first time when you see someone break out whatever calculator, like, and they're going out, I'm thinking to myself, like, are they balancing a checkbook to see I can afford to go out?
But here
they
are, like,
yep, 4 cheese sticks. Let's do it.
Rationing it out. Yeah, no, it's one of those things, like, people don't like to do it. It does suck initially, but it's the best if you're trying to lose weight or get a certain type of, or if you're trying to be a bodybuilder and gain mass, it's just it's the simplest way to go about that. Socially, it does create some weird situations. I think like it makes people feel weird, kind of like being on camera in public.
Sure.
But I think it's necessary. Like if you want to do that and that's your goal, just do it.
Now, what is the, so, you know, the Zen Dude Fitness, like the Zen aspect of it, how did that get involved into like, you know, what you guys are doing? And, you know, the, you guys got videos on meditating, and Who was it, you know, was it you or Brandon that brought that in? Like who was behind the Zen of Zen Dude?
That was mostly Brandon. Brandon, okay. Well, the name behind it, to be totally honest, I don't know, like, who's your audience? Can I say, like,
it's a tidy group of 6 family and friends. So it's okay. Your secret will be safe
you can
with
say
us.
Whatever.
Nice. So Zen Dude, to be totally honest with you, we were just really high one day in my apartment in Austin. And we were like, dude, if we're going to start this business, let's just make fun. You ever like meet someone who starts a business and they're like, well, my name was my father's, you know, it was named after my father's third boat that it's got a very deep meaning for me. We're like, fuck that, dude. Let's name a company. Like we were so stoned and we were just like, what if we called it Zen? What if we had the word dude in our name, Zen Dude? Cause we're like, you know, we're just being so goofy. And we kind of started it thinking to ourselves, like, let's just like, how cool would it be to grow a really successful, fun company that when people ask us, why'd you choose that name? That it's a stupid answer. Like it's just a ridiculous, because two guys that were friends, like thought it would be funny. And that's, there's no, nothing else that went into it.
That's it. There's no like deep, like philosophical, like, no, you must have a spiritual side and meditate. It's all marketing. Cause you were stoned.
No. So here's the thing.
Okay, good.
The reason it's called, because there is a very big Zen side to it, but we wanted to make it like playful. So Zen Dude, because you know, we do get hit up a lot from like the super enlightened community who's like, I just don't know. I don't know if this is Zen enough for me. Like you guys are swearing, smoking weed.
Yeah.
You know, like I think
you have writing on your arms. So what?
Yeah.
What's written on your arm, by the way?
This one?
Yeah. Oh,
do the thing.
Do the thing.
That is our slogan.
Thank God.
That's commitment.
Yeah. Man. You're going to have to keep that one.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be on there forever.
I would have put some spaces in there. You see that kind of fat? I thought it was do something at first. It's do the thing.
Well, don't correct the man's tattoo.
No, well, he's...
Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay.
No, he seems pretty zen and cool. So those people get kind of uppity about it, and you're like, I don't really want you in my community anyway. You're taking it too seriously?
Yeah, I don't want to mislead people and think it wasn't all a joke. This is very, very important to us. And the Zen part of it, like just to let you know, Brandon did come from a background, like he's always been into like neuro-linguistic programming and a lot of the Brandon's like, you know, he was like a young Tony Robbins. He was that guy that was like super into a lot of the like Brandon actually taught me a ton that I needed to. Like I did a lot of deprogramming of old habits, old ways that I used to be when I lived in New York and was kind of on that more corporate path. So Brandon really brought in this, like, that was really the Zen idea of it. Like, it's not just a physical transformation. It's a mental transformation. It's a transformation of, you know, of growing up as this, what we were trying to do was reach all these 22-year-old kids who were like, we were, you know, I'm sitting in New York with this great job, this supposedly like great life. And I'm like, damn, dude, like, I don't like this, but I feel like a, you know, I don't want to, I feel like some entitled brat that I'm not happy about this life, but it really sucks. Like, I'm not having fun at all. But, you know, from the outside,
right,
everything's going really well. Right. So the Zen part of that was like the mental deconstructing of what we were doing to just live a more fulfilled life. And if you want to live, you know, Columbia played into that too. If you want to go, you know, we always want to just set the example for no other reason than giving some kid hope who's like, you know what, man, I don't want to live in the UK anymore. You know what? I saw these guys, they just packed their shit up and moved to Medellin, Colombia. So I feel like I can do that too.
And so as part of your like service offerings, as part of Zen Dude Fitness, do you have like any modules or classes or events on that mental side of it? Or it's just something that you kind of weave into your messaging for your community members?
We did when we first started the business, and we do some of that stuff. Like, for example, we just ran a retreat down in Costa Rica where people got to like come down and like work out and do a bunch of excursion type stuff. So on that retreat, that was a lot of yoga, more of the Zen kind of aspect of it. Brandon did a lot of like guided meditations and things like that. But in terms of offerings, we don't do that right now, but we absolutely plan on doing that once we're a bigger brand. We just, like I said before, with like the focus, we were just like, you know what, let's get really well known and really good at this one thing. And then we can bring in and start doing other things that we're passionate about.
Now, what, I'm
like, curious, the mindset stuff.
Now you're talking about, so this, you know, idea Zen Dude Fitness, or at least part of it, was forged out of a little weed smoking. What role, not role, but like in terms of like smoking pot, like what effect does that have in terms of your performance? Are you one of those people that believes like, you know, you can do something in moderation, and, you know, like you hear about people microdosing. Some people, if they're in a creative industry, they'll just microdose a little bit of acid and it just gets them through the day. And, you know, some people have anxiety, do a little bit of microdosing. It's something that I've been reading about a lot lately, the microdosing. Mm-hmm. And is that something where you kind of feel like people might not conventionally think like, oh, here are these guys, they do, you know, all this work on the jump rope and you know, a lot of body weight work, and they're watching their diet and they're cutting calories. Is there a role that, like, an active role that weed could play?
Yes, we definitely believe so.
I would love if you just would have stopped at yes there after that whole long ass question. You just went yes.
Mike, what do you got for
it? Smoke it. No.
Go on.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think like every substance is just that. It's a substance that can be used. If you use it the right way, it can be beneficial to you. If you abuse it, it's going to be bad for you. So we, you know, a lot of, like, I've tried, for example, I've tried doing the microdosing of LSD. That was good. I did notice like an acute sense of more awareness. But personally, to get into that same state, I'd rather like take one hit of a vaporizer of marijuana, and that seems to set me in like a better place. So I'm definitely, I mean, we both, Brandon and I, are both definitely a believer in the benefits of that, but it's more about regulating which is the right substance for you, and then what about like what substance within that substance is right for you. Like if it's weed, for example, you know, people are like, yeah, I can't smoke weed because like one time I smoked this whole blunt of indica and like it really messed me up. And I'm like, yeah, no shit, dude. Like, can't do that. Like, if you maybe took like a small hit of a certain strain, then maybe you could go about your work day and a little bit lighter, a little bit more relaxed, but still with that same level of focus.
Like, you must have been doing some crazy shit in Colombia, right? Like, yeah, tell me a little bit about that. Tell me about the women. Tell me about the drugs.
Have you ever done ayahuasca?
Yes, we did that down there. So like we don't do, Brandon and I are like kind of hippies. We don't like, you know, we went to Colombia, but like we didn't do coke and stuff like that. Like we do We'll do the mushrooms, psychedelics. LSD, psychedelics, ayahuasca, stuff like that. Ayahuasca was a really interesting experience down there.
Yeah, tell me about that. What? How did you guys? Did you guys go out in any kind of jungle and do it? Or you know, these amazing stories about some people who like go out into the jungle and then they have to do this crazy cleanse before they do the ayahuasca, and then when you do it, you feel like you're talking to God. Just all this crazy stuff. Did you guys have that same kind of experience?
Yeah. So Brandon had it more so than I did. I do plan on doing ayahuasca again. Mine wasn't necessarily as crazy. I definitely hallucinated, but it wasn't like, I've had some friends tell me stories where I was just like, yeah, that didn't happen to me. Like they literally went to like, I had a friend who I trust very much. Like he, you know, he's someone who I think like, he's someone who, when he was telling me this, I'm like, okay, my buddy's not making this up. Like he's, you know, super high energy, very like motivated, accomplished person. And he was saying like, for example, he was like, whatever I think hell is, that's where I think that I went.
Oh my God.
He was saying like, he was sitting on the ground and for like what felt like hours, he said lightning bolts were just shooting down his spine and into, through his body into the floor. And he said it hurt so bad and it was so loud. And like, not, and of course, like nothing's happening to you. Like you're just in a, you're basically right in the corner, like freaking out. And he said that he was like, jeez, so like his stomach muscles cramped up because he was just like crouched in this position for so long that like he felt like, yeah, like he felt like he was lost in space, just getting electrocuted with lightning bolts until, and that's supposed to be like you go through all this bad shit. He went through like stuff that happened to him as a kid, and then you break through that and have a, you know, you basically barf everywhere, which is called like the purge.
Right.
And the I've idea is that, that. You, yeah, you get all the bad energy and everything that was kind of inside of you out through that.
Now, did he have a good, I've only ever heard these amazing, like you're talking to Mother Earth or, you know, some celestial being that you felt you've been connected to all along, but forgot. I've never heard of a story where someone felt like they went to hell or being hit with lightning bolts. Did he have a positive experience after that? Or was his just purely like, here's hell,
yeah,
then
terror,
you barfed, and then you go back to Medellin?
that would be a fucked up day right there. He did say like at the end of it, and the same thing that I hear from most people too, like mine was a very mild experience, but a lot of it's really terrible. And then the end of it is really like blissful and amazing because you just went through, you know, it's kind of like the reason that we'll take acid sometimes. It's like staring at it. It's like a mirror of yourself that you can't avoid. So all the shit that you have inside of you, like the real you, is like facing you the whole time. And so once you go through that process, I mean, I'm talking about like on ayahuasca, it's like supposedly like, you know, it's supposed to be like 10 times the feeling of LSD. Again, I did not have that. That was not my experience. But when you go through that, the dark side, then you do come out. It's supposedly like, you know, you've went through this big experience and now you feel a little bit lighter as a person and you've, you know, tackled some things in your life that have been eating at your subconscious for a long time.
Now, if you go through that, let's say you go through the whole hell and barfing, and then you get a little bit of enlightenment, and then you do it the second time. Hey, do you know anyone that's done it twice? And when they go through the second time, it's like, oh yeah, cause I went through the hell first time. I didn't have to do it the second time. I just barfed and went to heaven.
Could be. I don't know, man. Okay. It's so weird. Like it's a pretty, like, I didn't realize how, I mean, I'm to be, shoot you straight. Like I'm someone who's very skeptical. You know what I mean? Like I'm definitely into all the theories and like Zen, all that kind of stuff. And like, I am a spiritual person. I'm into some of that hippie stuff, but at the same time, I'm like an East Coast kid from Philadelphia. Like I'm a little bit like skeptical sometimes. And when we were in that ceremony, there was a girl who took it and started like screaming, like right at this thing. And I was like, oh my God, this girl's like seeing a monster basically, starts like freaking out, like grabs onto this person. And the shaman who's like leading the ceremony, I swear to God, walks right up to her and just says like these four things and does these hand motions. And she just goes and shuts up.
Fuck.
And I was just like, oh shit. Like I just took this stuff like 10 minutes ago. Like, this is going to be.
Right. This is going to be you in another couple minutes.
Yeah.
Now, after ayahuasca, you know, pretty much peyote's for pussies, right?
I guess. I don't know too much about peyote, to be honest with you.
So next time you come on, dude, it's going to be on drugs. Like, we'll plug Zen Dude Fitness and da-da-da and the website and all that, and we'll try to get some people into your community. But we're going to talk about drugs next time you come on. Is that cool?
I would love to. I would love to.
All right. We can't thank you enough for your time, dude. My last question is, who would win in a fight, you or Brandon? Be honest. You guys have had business disagreements. Who would win in a fight? Have you had a Donnybrook yet?
No. But him and I are like, I mean, we're brothers. We're best friends. I'm not just being nice, but like he's training. Like, he could definitely, he knows some technical stuff about boxing right now that like he could get me.
Yeah, that's how it is with us. Jones could kick my ass, dude. If he gets your back, man, he sinks in a rear naked choke. Forget about it. And then he's naked at the same time, so it's just very strange.
Let's see. Yeah. I'll make it work to my advantage.
You guys have some brotherly love, too, I see.
Right on, bro. Right on. Hey, man, give our best to Brandon and continued success to Zen Dude Fitness, zendudefitness.com, Zen Dude Fitness on YouTube, Facebook. We're going to plug it, and we dig it, and we're going to hopefully talk
you
about
it. You guys are going to Bali this February, right?
Yes, this February.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about Bali, and we'll talk about drugs when you get back from that, dude.
That would be great.
Awesome,
man. Thank you guys so much for having me on. We super appreciate it.
All right.
It was great, man. We loved it.
Onward, upward, Excelsior, Zen Dude Fitness. Thanks a ton, Dan. Appreciate it.
In a world of beaten down middle-aged men,
frizzy panty waists,
and triggered snowflakes,
two dudes
say the shit you say,
think and feel.
And now
we're ready to blow this shit up.
Announcing Jones and Mike
version 2.0.
coming to a phone,
car,
or computer near you.
Live video and audio
anywhere you are,
any way you like it,
anytime you need it.
Words that sear through your mind like tiny little missiles of brutal truth that make you go,
or freeing men from the malaise of middle age,
giving women the straight dope on what their dudes think.
It's the shit dudes say
that women want to hear.
Go to www.patreon.com/jonesandmike.
P-A-T-R-E-O-N.
patreon.com/jonesandmike.
Support the show.
Join our community.
Get rewards.
And help save Spaceship Earth from the hordes of fake news bullshit artists. Dude Say with Jones and Mike. Get the show for not much dough. Dude Say with Jones and Mike.
Rated M for mature audiences.
Jones, I need some of the zen-ness from Dan to permeate through my body. Although I think I'm doing a pretty good job of being zen in the face of some serious assholery lately, but still, it does get to me. I've been having conflicts with old people lately. They've been bugging the shit out of me. But even the other day, I actually almost came to blows. Well, I could have come to blows if I were a younger man and a more angry man. I probably could have come to blows with one of my old neighbors. And now he's old insofar as his body's fairly broken down, but he's still like a giant dude. He's like a giant, like, lumber. You know that neighbor of mine lives next door? Giant lumberjack of a guy?
The dog?
He had a dog. He had a giant dog. The dog died. Maybe that made him crabby. Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to shit talk him too much. He's a fairly intense guy. I think it's become part of his persona. Dan Whitmer and Brandon Epstein's persona is now like intrinsically linked to jumping rope, and fitness. This guy's defining characteristic throughout his life has really been his intensity. He has the demeanor and the look and the intensity of like a football coach.
What did he do for a living?
Yeah, he's in some like sales or something, and so I don't know how that works or something. But the first time I met him when I moved in, we actually had when we closed on our house that day, a tree was felled by a storm that night, and it was actually a bone of contention during the closing, like negotiation where the people that owned our house, they didn't want to get rid of the tree. And I was like, you got to get rid of the fucking tree. Like, I'm not paying for that. I don't own the house yet. Like,
right.
And they wanted to like, oh, somebody from our church is going to do it. I'm like, bullshit. We're moving in today. Like somebody from your, I'm not waiting on Hank from your church to come over and take care of that. Like right now we're going to get a company on the line and would do this whole thing. It went back and forth. Finally, we negotiated a price. I'm waiting for the dudes to come over. They finally come over. They start chopping this shit up or whatever. This lunatic runs over. I see him through like my new house's front windows. This lunatic's in front, charging around, talking to people. He's looking for me. And I'm like, oh, shit. This is one of my new neighbors. He's pissed off that this tree is like, you know, all over the fucking street and stuff. And so I go out there and I'm like, hi, Mike, nice to meet you. And he's like, you need some tools? I'm like, no, I got fucking real men here. Like, they'll take care of it. No, no right. problem. Nice to meet you, though. I'm like, so sweet of you to come over and offer me tools. So, like, the dude from Jump Street has just been intense, and that's fine. Apparently, my dog shit on his lawn last week. Does these things happen? And so he pulled me aside and told me to pay closer attention to my dog and then gave me a look like, or I'll fucking kick your ass, right? And just in that moment, I caught his vibe and I thought, he's treating me like I'm a child right now. And how do I respond to that? Like, I guess I'm relatively cool with being treated like a child, but the way he did it, It was a little too intense. It was a little too alpha. And so I just smiled and I said, oh, okay, I gotcha. I'm going to put one of my best kids on this. Every day they're going to walk in your fucking yard and look for dog shit. This won't happen again. And I'm really sorry. And I just walked away and I shrugged it off. But it did stick with me for a while. I'm like, that motherfucker is treating me like I am his 10-year-old son. Like, how do I handle that? Right. So... have you ever had any conflicts with any oldie Olsons like that? Where you're like, you know, this motherfucker needs to stand down now. Or I just need to learn how to get Zen, like the Zen dudes.
Well, there was an incident 2 years ago in the produce section of Trader Joe's in LaGrange.
Naturally.
Where I don't know what the deal was, but I was like, going to get some mangoes or something. And as I was pushing the cart, I just kind of just scooted the cart. I don't even really know what the offense was, but I just kind of scooted this cart like in front of the mango. You know, just people go in different directions and just kind of scoot in, grab something, and then
sure,
scoot
it's
out.
Controlled chaos, the produce section.
So I just kind of cut in. I was grabbing mangoes, and this old man comes over. I guess he was pushing his cart and he didn't even turn or go for the mangoes, but I guess because he felt I went diagonal to get to them, that I was attempting to impede his progress. Yet he was just the old man that was just sitting with the cart waiting for his wife to pick up what she needed to pick up. He was just really in a holding pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes over and he gets in my face.
In your face?
Well, distinctly stands in front of me so I can't go forward anymore. He's like, oh, so whoa. You just think you can step in front of me? Is that how you do it? You just cut people off?
Oh, wow. How old was this guy? Like 70, 80, 75?
Yeah, right around there. I mean, an old man. Old man. And not like a robust old man, but like a shuffly, you just push the cart, Hank, old man.
Oh, no.
But he was still like... you could tell an old school asshole from back in the day. I said, hey, man, I'm just picking up some mangoes.
Hey, man.
And he just wouldn't let it go. He just wouldn't let it go. He's like, you saw me. You saw my cart right there in front of me. You just went right. And he just would keep barking and barking. No. And I got this feeling of like, he's like scolding me in front of everybody.
Yeah, and I was like, look, man.
It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. I'm just picking, and I was kind of starting to stand my ground a little bit, like kind of broadening the shoulders, like, hey, I'm just getting some mangoes. You can calm down. And he just kept going. and I could see that his wife was starting to walk over.
Oh, no.
And then...
Because you don't know if like that's going to diffuse the situation or like even incite him even more. Like maybe she pisses him off. Maybe there's some part of him that wants to show his balls in front of his old lady. Like who knows?
Yeah. So then he kind of, he won't step away to let me go forward. But he's like, boy, you really think you're something. You know, like, oh man, they don't have that zinger, that line. Or you really think you're something. What are you, Eisenhower? You know, like that kind of thing. So it was the third attempt at scolding me where then I was just like, well, look, I could easily blast this guy into the mangoes, but I'm not. But at the same point, I'm not just going to let him scold me. So then at that point, I just fully went broad shoulders and I was like, all right, what are you going to do about it?
Wow.
What are you going to do about it? And it was this odd kind of like where I'm challenging this guy. So then the wife gets there by this point. She's like, Hank, would you come on? Would you stop? And you could hear in her voice, it's like, you have been doing this for 45 years.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
For 45 years, this old boy has been popping off. And you've been coming in at the last minute and grabbing someone and like grabbing him and like pulling him away.
Well, there was probably, probably a time when Hank was, you know, mixing it up, literally fighting with people. Now she can just come in and save him.
I'm sure. So to answer your question, have I ever been at a point where...
Well, wait. What happened then when you squared up and you went, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Once I gave him what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? Then the wife, talked him down and I think he kind of liked that as his out, because once the hand went around his arm, then he could kind of give me like, oh,
you're lucky she's pulling here. You
know,
yeah,
so then it kind of went away. But and I was like, man, if other people are watching that and they think like I was just trying to intimidate this old man, but I'm like, well, fuck him. He was the one, like, yeah. I'm minding my own business getting mangoes.
Yeah, we all have a right to the mango, you know, container.
And when I just tell him, when he scolds me about cutting him off, even though, like, where were you going? Like, where were you going? You weren't going anywhere. You were waiting for your wife to walk back with a package of, like, prepackaged lentils.
Yeah, I would have.
That's what you were just
saying. I think I would have offered him a mango. I'd have been like, can I get you some mangoes, Hank? I'll put them in the bag for you.
That didn't come to mind. Probably a peace offering of mango would have been better. It did not come to mind.
I did not know that mangoes drive men to madness.
Well, that's good. That is good. So, yeah, so I have had those instances where you're dealing with someone of another generation where you kind of want to go that Southeast Asian route of respecting your elders, but...
But then they just keep... They do something that's just too far.
Yes, exactly. And Hank went too far.
Yeah.
And you know me, I'm as docile as the day is long. If you get a reaction of, actually, the last time I gave that reaction was a guy who I used to work with at my current employer. He ended up quitting, but he was one of my managers, and he would not let go of a point. Would not let go of a point at all that he was just trying to make. And finally, I got to a point like, yeah, so, all right, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
And it's amazing. That line invites, I'm going to kick the shit out of you. But everyone responds to it like, nothing.
Yeah.
And then I'll never forget. He turned around. He was like, oh. And then he turned around and walked away. So it is an effective line. But
well, if you're sure that they're going to walk away, like, for example, I started doing the calculations super quick, like in my head, like, all right, if this does escalate, what are you going to do? I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do? Because this motherfucker is 100 pounds bigger than me. And
is
so I'm like,
big?
He's pretty big. He's always been just a giant dude, right? And so, like, he's had like lower body. So I right away was like, all right, lower body. I'm taking his lower body out first thing.
Kick him in the knees.
And then this is where you have to teach me an effective. I probably would kick him in the knees and then get the fuck away. But it would be nice to know what to do close up, like how to sink in that rear naked choke. You got to teach that to me, Jones. I'm missing that from my repertoire.
Well, you did. Hang on. You did do some high school wrestling, right? I mean, you trained for a week or two.
Oh, yeah, you know. Okay. You know, I don't like to talk about it, Jones, but.
Well, what? Okay. What do you, where do you think you're at with your, you know, with your shot?
Yeah.
If you went in.
No, I wouldn't try to shoot on a guy that much bigger than me. I would want to.
Here's the thing, though.
I want to take his leg out from distance.
But if you could shoot in low, because first of all, I'm imagining he's taller. He's got bad knees.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to try to kick you. He's not going to move well. If you could effectively get inside, get up close, like the way I have my face like to the mic.
Yeah, yeah.
You get that head on the body. You get your hands around there and do like a gable grip, you know.
That was right on the tip of my tongue.
You just quickly shuffle to the side of him.
Okay.
And then all you would have to do, all you have to do then is take your opposite foot to his, and not your opposite foot, but like your far foot, your foot that would be behind him now.
Yes.
Line it up to his far foot.
Uh-huh.
And then all you have to do is hold and fall backwards.
Mm.
You want to stay close to him. You want to keep you want to keep your face on his body.
Right.
Then you just sit down. Yeah. You literally just sit down and pull him over and around you. Mm. Easy peasy. Now he's just like a turtle.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what to do.
No,
then you get
then I
on
laugh.
Top
then
of
I
him.
Laugh at him.
And then you tell Grace to call the police, and then you rain down blows on his
then
face.
It's ground and pound time on a man in his 60s. Yeah.
Yes.
Or I could just do what I did, which is shrug it off, laugh it off.
And be bullied.
And walk
for the
away.
The rest of your life.
Yeah. See, I mean, I like the show-stopping line of what are you going to do about it until somebody goes, here's what I'm going to do about it. And then you're fucking in the middle of it with some 60 or 70-year-old guy.
Yeah, but
or
how many
any
people
human
will?
Being, frankly.
You know, okay, well, interestingly, I had a neighbor that got himself an old man, and this guy was a nut, an absolute nut. When I was a kid, for no reason, he steered his pickup truck at me and chased me into a ditch. Like, he was just this weird old Boo Radley crazy man.
Dude.
But he was a giant. He was a big guy. And he wound up meeting his maker.
Oh.
Because he was driving down 294. Someone cut him off, and it was one of these FU, FU, FU things as you're going down the road.
No.
He pulled over, and it was a younger man. They got out, and they started wrestling around. And as he was wrestling around, he got so worked up, he had a heart attack and died.
Are you kidding me?
Serious.
He died in a road rage.
You could have killed your neighbor and not have to worry about it.
Oh, not have to worry about it. That sounds like manslaughter, dude.
No,
you can't be wrestling
with yourself.
Well, if they see it that way, they could also see you as the aggressor. Like, dude, no. No, if Taylor Swift taught us anything, it's that sometimes innocent little things turn into a big fucking deal.
Well, what you can do is
just a little bit of Taylor Swift ass grab turned into this whole big thing.
Right. Well, what you could do is
cost a man a dollar.
You could grab your neighbor by the heels, your deceased neighbor by the heels, just drag him.
No, he's too heavy. No.
Onto your property. You have four kids. You guys.
Everybody grab a limb. We're going to do wash the dishes, dry the dishes with Uncle Jay. I'm not going to say his name.
And then you
give him
drop
the dignity.
Him into your. Onto your property, past your property line.
Yeah.
Ooh. And he came onto my property.
Yeah, he attacked me.
And all I was doing was defending myself. Officer, I have a FOID card. I am a gun owner.
I didn't use
lethal force.
No.
I was defending myself to my pugilistic best. And all I did was use a wrestling move when I was 14 years old to get in close so he couldn't hit me.
Yeah, no.
And then he ended up falling over the top of me.
No, the only strategy is just to shrug this shit off and just walk away. That's it. I mean, doesn't the world, what the world needs now is love, sweet love, Jones. We can't have men in their 40s fighting men in their 60s, 70s, and 80s.
But what if they bring it to you? Then what do you do? And here's the other thing, though, too. The line, so what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? the thing that's so effective about this, I'm rereading The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. And there is a part in the book where as Huck and Joe are going down.
Jim.
Good Lord, Jim.
And he had more to his name, which I won't say.
No, I'm not going to say.
He had like a full title. I'm not going to give it to you.
They don't have that in the book anymore either. The book I'm reading, it does.
It's been cleansed?
The schoolboy's book, the school children's book now of Adventures of Huckleberry Finn.
No N-word
does
anywhere.
Does not refer to Jim as N-word Jim.
Wow.
So anyway, there's a part in the book where this dude goes crazy and in front of all these people just shoots this dude and shoots this dude like in front of this guy's daughter. Mm. And then and then he just marches off. And then the townspeople go marching out there to like get their revenge. But when they get there, nobody has the nuts to do anything about it. And he essentially gives them, what are you going to do about it? I know. He essentially says to them, I know that most men are not capable of what I just did. So I can do this and get away with it because you guys don't have it in your heart to do anything about it. And all the townspeople turned around and walked away. Most men, if you give them the, so what are you going to do about it? Won't do anything about it.
Okay, and does that make them cowards, or does that make them fucking adults who are just like, you know what? Now you were talking about like justice and lynching and like I don't know, that's all a different scenario than what I'm discussing, which is, you know, when you're going for a mango and some crabby old fuck wants to discuss it with you, like, I mean, is it ever right to just fucking give them a fucking mash in the face like Biff from Back to the Future? No.
I tell you what, I did consciously think to myself, if this guy takes a swing at me, you take a swing back.
Mm.
So
no
if he
way.
Like came at me.
Horrible. I mean, he's so old, all you would have to do is lean back, lean away, use your superior footwork.
Well,
come on, Jones.
Knew he was going to fall forward and humiliate himself.
But I mean, imagine, okay, imagine that breaks bad.
Just like a little just pop.
No, you lean back, you pick up a mango, and you mash it in his face, and then you tell Helen to get Hank out of there. That's what you do.
Clean up your life partner and get him the hell out.
That's right. He's a sloppy bitch yet again. No more day drinking for Hank is what you tell Helen.
I guess you're the bigger man than me.
Yeah.
But I did think to myself, like, if this guy goes, like, whole hog on me, don't be a bitch because he's 81.
No,
he's
show him who's boss. Dude.
Like, hey, we've talked about it. Remember when Don Zimmer charged Pedro Martinez and Pedro Martinez threw him to the ground? You and I both were like, Don Zimmer had that coming. You just don't charge.
Well, he made contact with him. If it would have been even cooler if Pedro would have matadored him out of the way and been the bigger man.
Yeah, but we were both on Pedro's side back then.
Yeah, I guess I'm looking at it from my perspective in these real situations, and it's like, what's the upside? The upside, the downsides could be heart attack, or what if my old neighbor beats my ass? Then what happens? Like, that's a big downside.
You would never be able to go outside of the house.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, that would be pathetic.
Yeah, so there's a lot more downside, I think, than the upside of beating. And again, it's like, even though he's twice my size, people would be like, but he's had two knee replacements and he's 63. And I'd be like, but he's huge! Wouldn't matter.
I feel like this is going to come up again. So I'm dying to know how it will play out and how you
will. Well, no, I have resolved that I'm going to tell him next time that he needs to stand down on that fucking body language, intensity, alpha, fucking Bear Bryant thing. It's not going to work. Don't do it again. I'm going to say it with respect and love.
So what are you
going to
do about it?
And when he says that, I'm going to spit in his face.
You're going to go inside the house and eat a mango.
That's the solution, dude. Fruit can save the world, Jones.
Ah! ah, 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 ah.